Psalms 62, we'll read verses 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation." Verse 5, "My soul wait thou only," circle that word, "only upon God, for my expectation is from him." David, we all know the story, the author of this psalm, David, the shepherd boy, and one day as he's out there working, the call comes, he shows up at the house, and he finds himself anointed to be the next king of Israel. I can't imagine what was going through his mind, through his heart, through his thoughts at that moment, what God was doing, but we all picture things a little bit different in our future than the way they turn out. I think, surely in his mind, he thought success has come and God is with me. This is going to be a beautiful path and a wonderful life. And things just didn't turn out that way. He was whisked off to the palace, but you know the story. His life is threatened. The king is a madman, spends the next decade running from Saul. And then that wouldn't be the only time he had to flee the palace and run for his life. Once again there with his son, and his life really was filled with heartache, heartbreak, turmoil, and challenges. But here's what we see David doing. David was a man who had determined early in life to put his trust exclusively in God. Amen. Only. Now, here's what this year has done. Through a series of unsettling events, starting with COVID, and then for some whose hope was in Trump. God uses all these things to help you understand your trust is supposed to be exclusively in God. Only in him. Now, David had made that determination, although we do have to understand there are a lot of things we decide and the Holy Spirit convicts us of. There are things we come down to the altar and we make right with God. And we say, "God, from this point and forward, I am going to," and then we wake up the next day. And that determination we had made less than 24 hours earlier is already being challenged. You say, "What do I do in those circumstances?" You do what David did, verse 5. So he says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God." He says, "I've made that determination. I am going to trust God and trust God exclusively." And then he finds himself in trouble. And he's looking to man for help. He's looking to another source as his resource. His heart is wavering in his decision. So you know what he does in verse 5? He preaches to himself about the decision he had previously made. Look what he says. "Soul, my soul, wait thou only upon God." How many of you have ever done this before? You made a decision. You're going to stick to your decision. And then when you were wavering in your decision, you had to preach to your soul. Some of us occasionally need to preach to our faces. Face, you are a Christian. Face, this is a good day. Face, God is on the throne. Hey, face, you're in church, amen. Hey, face, you are happy and victorious today. Right? I know some of you haven't preached your face yet because I see it. But David's not preaching to his face. He's preaching to his soul, amen. Soul. Sometimes we got to preach to our spirit. How many ever said, "My soul, it's well with my soul, but my spirit's a little downtrodden"? Yes. But David is preaching to his soul, and he's saying, "My soul, you have made a decision to trust God as your soul source. So now, my soul, wait thou only upon your soul source." My expectation is from who? How many realize if your expectation is found anywhere else, it's only set up for disappointment? If your expectation, and I thank God for good parents, but if you're waiting on your parents to be your source of counsel, joy, hope, young people, you better come to this understanding early in life, your parents are not your source. God is your source. Hope, joy, provision, peace, strength, power, you fill in the blank. God had better be your only source. Look what it says, verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon my God. From him cometh what? What are the next two words? Aren't you glad that God is the only source of your salvation? Oh, boy, I look at people. They're pulling up to churches this morning. They're going to sit in a pew, and someone's going to tell them, you are the source of your salvation. Go behave yourself. Boy, that's disappointing on Monday. That's frustrating on Tuesday. Boy, you may have a good run of 3 days in a row, and then you deal with someone in your life that's a frustration, and you don't say it, but you think it. And if your salvation depends upon you, you just lost it. Right? Can you imagine waking up midway through the day, you think you're headed to heaven, and then your actions in the afternoon mean you're headed to hell? If you're your source of salvation, what a roller coaster. Amen? Can you imagine you grow up in the Catholic Church, you think your source of your salvation is baptism as a baby? You can't remember, but someone told you got sprinkled, some man dressed as a woman threw water in your face, blessed you, called it holy, and some adult rumor told you that would take you to heaven. Then you end up in the Mormon church. They say, oh, no, 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 no. Someone else has to be baptized for you. You got to be baptized in deep water. Can you imagine the confusion of going through life and you're being barraged by all kind of information and you're trying to keep up with the data of the day, figuring out what do I got to do for myself to gain my entrance into hell? Here's what David said. Oh, no. From him, he's looking upward. From God cometh my salvation. Verse 2, he only is my rock and my what? He only is my
salvation.
Oh, I'm so glad that I cannot provide my own salvation. If you think you're disappointed in your preacher, can you imagine how disappointed I am in your preacher? If you think you know a few bad things about your preacher, can you imagine how many bad things I know about your preacher? If you think you've seen an occasional fault or failure or character flaw, if you think you have seen a weak moment in the man behind this pulpit, can you imagine me and my point of view? And for any man to have any hope in himself as his source of salvation. Yeah, David, go back with me to Psalms 32. Here's why he was so rejoicing, the fact that God was his source of salvation. David, we're not talking about mistakes. You want to talk about a colossal failure as a father? I've heard more messages and I've preached more messages on failures of the father from the life of David than any other man in Scripture. I don't mean one bad son. I mean you raise a rapist, and you raise a murderer, and you raise a man of treason. And you're talking about if someone tried to be a worse father, I don't know if they could fail on the level of David. And then adultery, and the list just goes on. Can you imagine if David's hope was in his good works for getting to heaven? That man would be the most hopeless man ever in the Bible. But look what he says in Psalms 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Aren't you glad your transgression is forgiven?
Yes.
Now, hold on for a minute. If you go get yourself in a wooden box, and you talk to someone behind cloth, and you start to confess your sin, you have no shame in doing that. You're shameless anyways, if you're truthful. I have yet to believe there's anybody honest enough to sit in that box and actually tell the person behind that cloth. Now, you're talking to another man who cannot. Now he may recite some words and claim to offer you forgiveness, but there is no man on this planet that can provide forgiveness. You know why God is the source of our salvation, the source of our hope? Because he's the only one that can provide us forgiveness and cleansing and redemption and sanctification and eternal life. And David said, David with great joy said, go back to 32, I already closed the scripture, but we got to finish reading it. Verse 2, blessed is that man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no God. Now David is rejoiced because he knows himself and he knows his failures and he knows there's a God in heaven that has cleansed him and forgiven him and made him righteous, although he does not deserve it. That's why he says in verse 6 of Psalm 62, he only is my rock. He only is my salvation. Verse 7, in who? In God. Not in my baptism, not my good works, not in anything that I've done. In God is my salvation. Boy, I'm thankful that God is my only source. Go with me to verse 5. He's my source of hope. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation, my hope is from him. Oh, there's a lot of disappointed people in this world. Depends on the day, because they put their hope in a boss, they put their hope in a race, they put their hope in a spouse, they put their hope in a child, they put their hope in a stimulus check, put their hope in I laugh at people who put their hope in the government. Let me tell you something about the government provision. You say, well, I'm hoping the government will provide for me in my old age. Tell me who provides for the government. You're putting their hope in them, and they put their hope in you. Why in the world do you want to put your hope in them? Put your hope. Now we only have two choices. You either put your hope in God or you put your hope in man. But for so many, literally, that are hopeless, here's what David never did. Whether he was in a cave, whether he was in trouble, whether he was, there's a lot of reasons people feel hopeless. Sometimes it's because they feel all alone. How many of you ever been there? You felt hopeless because you felt all alone. You may have been surrounded by people. You may have been married or even had family next door. But in whatever you were facing or whatever trial you were encountering, it doesn't matter that you had a church. Doesn't matter that you even had a Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter. You felt all alone. That creates a feeling of hopelessness. If life at moments seems out of control, you know what we like to do? We like to feel like we're in control. How many of you realize you've lived long enough to realize you're not in control? You can't control the weather. You can't even control your children. You have a six-month-old in your house. You can't even control a six-month-old. You can't control your own tongue. What in the world can you control? That helps you feel hopeless. If you don't have a purpose for living. Have you ever woke up one day and you said, do I even have a purpose? Besides eating chocolate, do I even? Besides going to Waterburger 11 o'clock at night, do I have a purpose at all? Besides watching reruns of Hallmark, do I have a purpose? Now, if you're a man and that's your purpose, you need to stop drinking soy milk. All of us. Forget about that person that walks with such confidence. All of us, if at times in life, found ourselves in these spots where we feel like there's just no hope. Our problem is we begin to put our hope in someone else. We hope someone else is going to provide us a good word. We hope someone else is going to provide us a compliment. We hope someone else is going to provide us a check. We hope someone else. And if our hope is in anyone or anything beside God, we will find ourselves hopeless. Look what it says. Go with me to Psalms 39, verse 7. Here's what David says. Repeatedly, he had learned, he had trained himself. Go to 31, 39, 42. Stick your finger anywhere because we can just about read anywhere in Psalms. And David is saying the same thing. Psalms 31, 24. Be of good courage, and he, God, shall strengthen your heart, all ye that what? If you want your heart strengthened, you have to put your hope in the Lord. Don't put it in anyone else, because man is the ultimate hope crusher. Right. Psalms 39, verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? I'm not waiting for anything else. I'm not looking in the mail. I'm not looking forward to the elections. I'm not asking my boss. My hope is in what? In thee. Psalms 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my... There's David preaching to himself again. Sometimes you need to become a preacher. Got to wake up in the morning occasionally become a preacher. Say, soul, self, hey you. Yeah, preach yourself. You need to look in the mirror and say, why art thou cast down? Be careful. You live cast down long enough to start to form bags under your eyes. Start to age. Prematurely. All going to age. Pastor, how can you avoid aging? Freeze yourself, I guess. I don't know. But you can at least slow it down. Amen? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. You see David continually preaching to himself. God has got to be your source of hope. Here's what Psalm 62 is talking about. Is talking about David's understanding in life that God was his only source. Number three, God has to be your only source of provisions. Most famous psalm that David ever wrote, he said this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, church, I'm so thankful for the day that I came to the realization as a pastor, my church is not my source. If I'm looking to a church as my source, I'll be frustrated and disappointed and angry. I've had people ask me before, you have a limited income? Absolutely not, because I have an unlimited source. If I had a limited income, I'd be worried about the car that I was going to drive and the insurance and everything else that I was supposed to take care of in life. But the most liberating day of your life and where you understand true freedom, Uriah, is your mom and your dad are not your source. You got to be careful because God uses different resources, but he is always the source, and people begin to make the resource the idol. So suddenly that company becomes the idol, and they're going to provide me a pension, and they're going to provide, guess what? Hey, your idol may be crushed tomorrow by the hand of God. Yes. That company may disappear, and if you're looking to that person or that provider as your source, you're only due for disappointment. That's why you need to get a prayer life and say, maybe my dad did not believe that he can buy me a motorcycle, but I have a source that is greater than my dad. Amen. And I'm fearful if he is my source. I know I got a mom in this house and a dad in this house, and my mom, if she's my source, she'll say, you're going to kill yourself, son. There's no way you need a motorcycle. So I don't want to depend upon that source. And I got a dad that's saying, well, son, you need to start looking for a $150 bike. You know what? That's going to be a piece of junk that's a big headache, and I'm not a mechanic. So trying to help you, Uriah, you need to say amen right here. Amen. Any man that has 5 acres of property needs a motorcycle.
Amen.
You better not be looking to man as your source. You're going to be disappointed and graduate, walk across this platform, get your diploma, and be motorcycle free. Mm-hmm. We got a source that is greater than our resource, And guess what God does? God will check how much you depend upon your resources, and he'll switch things up and say, do you look to me as a source, or are you looking to man as a resource? That's why he said, you know what, I'm going to put you at a brook and let ravens be your resource. So you understand, I'm your source, and the brook will dry up, the ravens will disappear, and I'll send you down to a widow's house. That's a resource. That's not even what you'd call a reliable resource. No. And sooner or later, kids, you're going to grow to understand whatever parents God have given you, they're not even a reliable resource. That's why occasionally you walk around in high water pants. Your daddy wouldn't do that. He wouldn't go to one day of work looking like that kind of a clown. But he'll make you go to school looking like a fool. Amen. It had rained in this season for 3 months. And yeah, he's putting you in the high water trying to keep your socks dry. Your pants dry. That ain't fair. Suits from Walmart. Man, how can you make a pair of Walmart pants look good? You can't. You can't. I've seen these kids. You simply can't. Can't style and profile in a pair of Dickies. It just ain't happening. Now, say, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm making fun of our gods. Because God is our source. And the best day of your life is when you understand God is my supply. And I cannot live panicked, and I cannot live frustrated, because I'm looking to a man as my source. No, God may use him at the moment as a resource, but he is still the source. You can either put your faith in a resource or put your faith in the source. One leads to disappointment, the other one leads to continual hope. My God shall supply all your need. Now, here's what will help your faith. Young people, we talk about faith, but this is truly the principle that changes you from faithless to full of faith. When you truly in your heart get a hold of this principle that God is your source. I know missionaries on the field that are bitter because they never learned the principle that God is their source. And they looked at churches, and as soon as one disappointed them, as soon as one dropped them, as soon as one became unfaithful at the wrong time, they got frustrated. And here's what God will do. God will have to work on you until you learn the lesson. You be frustrated. And I know women that get all frustrated with their husband because they think that he is the source. If you truly think that he is the source, why did you marry that man with that IQ? You knew he had limited earning income potential. Amen. You marry that man thinking he was truly going to be a millionaire. Come on. Should have known better. I'm questioning your IQ. You tell me about his low IQ, you're the one that chose him. That means yours is lower than his. Just trying to help you this morning. I'm just trying to help you. Psalm 63, he needs to be your only source of joy. How many ever put your joy in something else? You watch people put their joy in a car. I've never put my joy in a car. I like taking care of my stuff. I don't care what I have. I don't care if it's a ballpoint pen or $50 shoes. I think you ought to take care of your stuff. But I'm not going to put my joy there. Maybe the closest I ever put my joy, you guys bought me a car. Never owned a new car. Never thought to own a new car. Never had any desire to own a new car. Too frugal to buy a new car. I'd rather someone else. Someone else go through that pain, right? Watching that car depreciate the minute it loses $3,000 to $5,000 as soon as you drive it off the lot. I don't like losing $3,000 to $5,000 in 5 minutes. That's just not my way of thinking. If that's your way of thinking, bless your heart. Say I like a new car smell. You know they sell odorizers. You instead of $50,000 for that smell, you can spend $5 once every 6 months. It lasts longer. Just stuff one up your nostril. Don't even have to go to a dealership. Amen. I'm trying to help you this morning. Park that car in BJ's and come out after eating. I said, man, we got some kind of stunt driver. Stunt driver. Pull him this parking lot. He parked his car, I'm not lying, 6 inches away from mine. So how do you do that? I'm looking in the car thinking, how in the world am I even going to get in my vehicle? And then I realized that stunt driver had taken his front bumper, connected with my front bumper, and ran it all, from my back bumper, and ran it all the way to my front bumper. Whoa. That's a big signature. The police came, identified the driver, and brought him out. This is America in 2020. Is that your car? Yeah. Why did you hit him? I didn't hit him. That's the paint from your bumper on his car that runs 12 feet. I don't know who did that, but it wasn't me. Now, I thought he was a stunt driver. Can you imagine the stunt driver I had to be to back through the trees, past his bumper, run it down his vehicle, park with 6 inches between our vehicle, climb out the window to victory. Then go call the police and blame it on him? You got one of the most talented stunt driving pastors on the planet. But you know what God will do? If your joy is wrapped up in a possession or in a car, God will have a stunt driver come sign it. Just to do a little joy check. Just to say, is your joy in me or is your joy in a Toyota? Say, Pastor, I've never put my joy in anything. You put your joy in a purse 2 months ago. You hadn't been happy for a month, and your husband finally gave up, went down, spent $200, put a smile on your face. And that lasted 24 hours. Isn't it amazing that God can't put a smile on someone's face, but a Michael Kors purse can? Isn't it amazing? What makes us happy in life? And David said, I want to make sure my joy only comes from, my source of joy only comes from God. Look what it says, 63 verse 1. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee. When's the last time you could say that? Your soul was thirsting for God. Your flesh was thirsting for God. To see thy power, thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee while I live. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with what? When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I what?
Rejoice.
Who is his joy? His God. In thy presence, what did David say? Is, you know what? We got a problem with youth coming up. Boy, they talk about football and they get happy. I mean, I don't know if you could take a worse team professionally and a worse team collegiately and put them in the same state and watch them produce more joy in our young people. Dallas Cowboys, they're coming back. Coming back from what? They've like been buried 45 feet under the soil. You're seen now as Jerry Jones if you put your hope in the Dallas Cowboys. A team 20 years removed from the Super Bowl, probably another 20 years in the future removed from the Super Bowl. If a bunch of dope-smoking, fornicating, heathen put a smile on your face, you need Jesus in your heart. I like to hunt. I like some of these things. If hunting puts a bigger smile on your face than God himself, David said, my joy, my source of joy. Ladies, some of you got your refuge going. Your only source of joy is next time your husband buys you another chicken to decorate your kitchen. And you're waiting for that tight water to buy you another chicken. If your source of joy is a new set of furniture, a bedroom set, a new dress, that means that every 2 weeks you're waiting for more cash to produce more joy. And David said, no, my source is God. Literally, we're watching kids. Ben, I don't know how yours are, but my kids growing up in Mexico, I mean, Mexico has amazing food. You can go buy typhoid tacos for 50 cents. Everything you want under $2. You got some of the best flavors, the best seasoning, best food on the planet, and you ask them where they want to go to eat, and they say McDonald's. I took Christopher to the doctor. He's 2 years old, doing MRI just to see if he had a brain. So I just want to check because there are no signs at all. No signs at all this boy has anything upstairs. I just need you to confirm. He was born with a brain. But we would go to McDonald's, and they properly name those little boxes Happy Meals. Because for all children's, it's a source of five-minute happiness. And you ask, do you want the nuggets or the hamburger? They don't even care. There's a piece of plastic in there. It's worth a nickel. It's worth one nickel. It's guaranteed not to last beyond the playground at McDonald's. But as soon as you hand them, how many of you parents have ever seen the child sit down and pull out the hamburger and pull out the french fry and talk to you? No, no. The food is left in the box in a plastic, wrapped in plastic, worth less than the box. Puts a humongous smile. You say, what are you laughing about? This is the world we live in. The plastic that puts a smile on the face of a Christian. The foolishness, the breakable junk of this world that delights our soul. It's not a soul saved. It's not a new rider on the bus route. It's not someone radically changed by the gospel. It's a piece of plastic. You got to see my new house. You got to see my new neighborhood. You haven't said amen in a service in 42 months. We just brought through the greatest line of preachers in the history of mankind. And you showed up 10 minutes after service started, looked miserable the whole service, and ran out of here as soon as someone said amen. But you found some more plastic. It's our source of joy. We're Americans. It's in our DNA. David said, God is my source. Whatever I have or don't have, God is the one that puts a smile on my face. And if he doesn't, it's preaching time. Soul, I say unto my soul, only God, only he is my source. Let me say finally, and I'm done. Look what it says. Verse 5, one more time. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He should be our only source of guidance. Now, I'm not against. Pastor, I have a decision to make. I'm not against looking for advice. I think that's wise. You know what we're talking about. It's amazing, though, God's the last one we go to. And God and his word, the principles found in this book, would answer about 98% of the questions we have anyways. Yes. If we based it on what's a Bible principle. You laugh at teenagers, their first car, first source of joy. How many remember your first source of joy, the first car you bought? How many still hate the guy that sold it to you? 30-year root of bitterness. How many remember the first time you talk to a mechanic, he's like, that's going to be $832. You're like, I paid $600 for the car. Something is wrong with this picture. How can brakes cost more than the vehicle? Maybe you should have went to God and prayed over that before you bought it. You know how many times I have people say, preacher, look at this. Look what God blessed me with. And I don't say it, but I certainly think it the majority of the time. That's not a blessing from God. I don't know what you're drinking, but it's early. That is not a blessing from God. That's called a bad decision, capital B, capital D, bad decision. Your expectation ought to be from God, would you help me with this? God, would you guide me in this? God, would you direct me in this? God, would you keep me from making a bad decision? God, I need your help in this. My expectation, my source, my only look is to
God.
Only. What if we take a week and just reread this chapter? Because this is one of those chapters that literally change our spiritual lives. When we say, God is my source. Let's say it together, Cap City. God is my source. No bank, no person, no government, no church, no dad, no mom, no rich uncle. And let me say this, I'm done. We have seen people that suddenly became super friendly with a relative. And no one questioned their motives, except for the fact that they were getting older and had a will to write. Now, we're not going to question their motives, but suddenly Aunt Sally is getting letters and cards and texts and is the favorite aunt in the family. There's an expectation that hopefully I will be blessed. Something strange about that. Now let me ask you this. Who has more resources, Aunt Sally or God the Father? David said, my expectation is only in him.